Well, praise Jesus. Are you determined to live for Jesus?
Amen.
You know, if you're not, then the world's going to determine who you're living for. Amen? Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Old Testament. Let's start in the beginning, and I'll preach from Genesis to Revelation this morning. Genesis chapter 6 this morning. Last week we had Bethany and Andrew were here from the orphanage in Guatemala. The pastors down there were doing services last Sunday and Wednesday. Y'all enjoy that? They're about the sweetest people on the face of the earth. If somebody doesn't like them, there's something wrong with them, right? I mean, you know, if you don't like them, folks, you need to get prayer. You got a problem. I've never seen anybody as sweet and nice as those people are. And so they're just awesome. They're preaching in Alabama today. They are in here in the States for a little while and then headed back down to Guatemala. So they're a real blessing. So, and so I kind of finished up, I guess. I don't know whether I just finished up or finally gave up. I preached on the, seems like for so long, I've even lost how long I preached on whatever I was preaching on. So I'm starting off on something new today. Yes, ma'am. Sure. As long as it's nice. Uh-huh. Glory to God, dancing around. Whee! You can go back square dancing. Amen. See, God lines it all up, no matter what. Praise God for that. You know, something else I want to tell you, I'm talking about that I know that's sitting on the back tables and in the front, there's my book, the new book I just did on praying the word. I've been hearing all kinds of great things about people grabbing hold of a word jumping out to them and out of that book. And God's really been doing some miracles in that. So I'm excited about that. I started out on a bad note because the book was printed and it didn't get printed like I wanted it to, and it really irked me that it didn't get printed right, and so I just gave them all away, and God's taken what I thought was not good and making something good out of it. So praise God for that. So anyway, so they're back there. Take them. They're all, I see some over there on that table and in the back. Make sure if you're here today as a guest with us, and that's a free gift to you. So take it. It's full of just pray in the word. Bless God. Pray the word. Amen. All right. Let me tear into this for a second. I want to preach to you today about bullies and tyrants. I'm not much of a person who likes to be bullied. You know, I don't know. I watched too much John Wayne and Roy Rogers when I was a kid. And, you know, I just don't like to be bullied. I don't like to be, you know, manhandled. I don't like to be told what I have to do and what I can do and what I can't do. I don't like tight spaces too much. And that's why I love Texas. And seems like we're in a time in the world right now where bullies and tyrants are wanting to rise back up and basically do what bullies do best. Push people in the direction they want you to go. You know? I don't know what it is, I know that a lot of it, because I understand personalities of people. I know a lot of people that the way you were raised and your surroundings around you had a lot to do with the way that you develop in life and how you take. But you know, the world, about 70% of the world are really just sheep. They'll do anything that you push them to or guide them to. Now, you know, it's funny with sheep. Because, you know, sheep, it's kind of an insult to me, being from a cattle-raising family, that Jesus referred to us as sheep. Because sheep, they're very stupid. They're stupid and they stink. And there's no two ways about it. Y'all know my feelings of the picture of Jesus holding a lamb. I know that can't be right because ain't nobody got good sense. We walk around petting a lamb, okay? Because they're greasy and they smell bad. And whoever thought up that picture just was not thinking. But anyway, sheep are pretty stupid. And sheep, you know, they will get themselves into trouble, and then sheep will just be walking one day and decide they're going to die and they just lay down and die. No reason, no call, whatever. They just give up in life and die. But then you look at humanity, a lot of humanity were the same way. We walk through life and we go through life, and as soon as too much obstacles come against us, too many bullies come against us, whether the bullies be physical or spiritual, we get some resistance in life, and we tend to want to just give up. We tend to want to give up or take the easy route, the path of least resistance. And if you go and you study the scriptures and you study what it means to live a life for Jesus, it doesn't mean that you always get to take the easy road. Matter of fact, it's usually a narrow road and it's usually uphill. How many of y'all know that it's easier to gain weight than lose? Huh? I mean, yeah, that's a given, man. It's easier to gain weight than lose. It's easier to get out of shape than in shape. You with me? I mean, it's easy. It's natural just to lay on the couch and do nothing. I got to admit, yesterday I had a weak moment. My wife, I pretty much have weaned myself off ice cream. I used to have Rocky Road that flowed through my veins. And I pretty much have weaned myself off of ice cream. But yesterday I just had a weak moment. My wife went to town and I said, buy a big bag of Lay's potato chips. She said, are you serious? I said, get them. So she brought the bag in. I opened up the bag. She said, you know, if you just pour a few of those in the bowl, it'll be easier to stop eating them. And I said, that's not the point. That's not the point in this endeavor here. The point is to eat till I'm satisfied, okay? I'll eat the whole bag if I want to. And I didn't. But, I mean, you know how you get to eating them? And if you love Lay's potato chips, you know, literally the saying, nobody can eat just one is the thing. You cannot eat one Lay's potato chip. One leads to the next and leads to the next. But finally, you have to grab hold of yourself. You have to say, would you listen, this is not going to be good for you. Stop. Cease. Desist. You cannot go eat anymore. You got to roll the bag up, get rid of it, get it out of there, right? Are y'all with me? Are y'all like this too? Do y'all have these natures and these tendencies in life, huh? If you don't, well, there's something wrong with you. Or you have a weakness of something else. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is that what happens in life is that bullies and tyrants, they want to come into your life and they want to push you to go the direction they want you to go, or to take the road of least resistance, which I can promise you the road that's of least resistance, if things are going really easy, you better watch it. Something's up. I don't know why when I got saved, when I gave my heart to Jesus, I don't know why I had the impression that from that moment forward, life would be a bed of roses. I just thought, man, Jesus is with me now. Man, bless God. Glory to God. I mean, I got it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I remember, wasn't no more than 1 or 2 weeks after we'd been saved. We're trying to get to church. And I remember that morning we woke up and the dryer, like, blew up. And then the toaster blew up. And then I went outside and the car had a flat on it. And then we got in the car, finally got the tire changed, you know, and headed down the road, and a buzzard flew out, hit the windshield, got down the road, the horses were out. I'm telling you, is this not the truth? Came down the road, a wild pig ran across the road, like to hit it, swerved off the road, you know, threw the kids into the floorboard. And then bless God showed up at the church house, you know, like, And now for the longest time, I was always asking the Lord, what's going on? I mean, I don't understand this. This is to be easy. I mean, where are you? Come on, angels, whatever's happening. Something happened. Good. And it was a while that after a while, I come to realize that, you know, I have just irritated all of the principalities of this world. Every devil in hell is mad at me, and every devil in hell wants me to quit. And they want to bully me and push me into the place that I have to compromise. And the moment they get me to do that and see that I compromise, you see, the devil's not stupid. The moment he gets you to compromise, at that he says, oh, okay, if you'll compromise at that, well, then now what will you give up? It doesn't end. It's not like he stops. Oh, okay, they compromise. Let them go. No. He says, hey, I found a weakness. They compromise. Then let's push them a little more. Let's see what they'll compromise now. Let's see what they'll compromise until finally your back's up against the wall because you got no more place to compromise. Now, it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet the days shall be 120 years. And they were giants in the earth on that day. Also afterwards, and the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Now that word giants, it's amazing. That word giants means bullies and tyrants. Bullies and tyrants. That's what it means. The Hebrew word means bullies and tyrants. In other words, there's bullies and tyrants on the face of the earth, and they want to get you to compromise in your life, and they're going to bully you until you finally stand up and say, no. How this world goes and how this world works, where we're at right now, even in our political arenas, in our government, even where we go, it's going to come to the place where finally somebody's going to stand up and say, no. Are you listening to me this morning, church? Somebody's got to stand up and say, are you kidding me? No. Because bullies will push you as far as they can push you, and as soon as they've taken something from you that you gave up, then they're going to push you some more to take something else. Do not be deceived. The devil wants you out of the picture. He'll never quit working on you. He will never quit getting you to compromise. He will never stop. He will never desist. He will never, ever back off, because he wants you to end up in hell with him. Hello. But I don't know about you folks, but I'm not headed to hell. I'm headed to heaven. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I love a good fight. I've always loved a good fight. I started out early in life. I like to fight. I still like to fight today. I don't care how much get bruised up. Bless God. I'm just not worried about it. I heard a story. They were telling me some friends this weekend were telling me about a 60-year-old man who was an oil man, and that all of the executives didn't want to go to this certain country because it was too concerned about kidnapping. And so he was the president of the company, and he was 60-something years old. He said he kept himself in pretty good shape. He wasn't just in great shape, but went down there and pulled up at the hotel because he was going to show all his executives. He said, look, I'm going. I'm the president of the company. I ain't scared. Went down there, got at the hotel. As soon as he got out of the hotel, two masked gunmen jumped out, held him at gunpoint. We're going to kidnap him. He said, well, I'm not putting up with that. He took his briefcase, knocked the gun away from one of them, grabbed the other one, busted his head through the windshield, got to beating on both of them till the time that the police got there. They had to pull the gentleman off of the two kidnappers. And so he sent back to his executive and says, this is the way you handle this situation. Now, y'all get down here next week. Sometimes it just takes somebody to stand up in life and say, no, this is not going to go down like you think it's going to go down. You're going to get more resistance from us than you can imagine. The enemy will push you and push you and push you and bully you and bully you. But it says here in Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Everybody say a just man. Perfect in his generation. And he walked with God. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And he walked with God. And what happens to Noah? Well, he produced three sons. What happened to Noah? He was the only one that came out of the flood. Are y'all with me? What happened to Noah? He was a guy that got mocked, ridiculed, scoffed at because he was building a boat when it had never rained. Sometimes in life, as Christians, we may look to the world so foolish, but they don't hear the rain coming. Listen to me. Sometimes in life, we look so foolish to the world. I don't care we look foolish. I just want to walk with God, hear God, and do what God says. Are y'all with me? I am determined, as that song says, to be invincible till He has finished His work in me. Listen, God has a work for each and every one of you. He has a plan for each and every one of you. He has something that He wants each and every one of you to accomplish for Him in life. Whether it's your testimony you're telling to somebody, whether it's something that else that you're doing in life. But I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. He's got a work for you. He's got something great for you. And the devil does not want you to do it. He does not want you to accomplish it. He does not want you to fulfill it. You say, oh, you mean God wants me to be on television and be a televangelist? No, maybe not. Maybe He just wants you to be a godly worker and tell somebody that you're going to come across on your path that week, that day, about Jesus. We get crazy in our head sometimes thinking about all of what, because we look at whatever happens in Hollywood and we think that's the way it has to happen in our lives. But it's the day in and day out, the little things that God's speaking to us that He wants us to accomplish for Him. And if the devil has got you tied up in a knot, chasing your tail, you know what? You never see the opportunities that God has for you. If the devil's got you bound up in jealousy and anger and bitterness and strife, you never see what God's got for you. That, folks, is nothing more than a spiritual bully. It's nothing more than a spiritual bully in your life. Trying to get you so twisted that you can't see what God has for you that day. Hello. So, what are we going to do about it? Proverbs 29:18 says, if you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. Listen to me. If you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. Years and years ago, I mean, I was probably 15 years old, the first time I entered a pistol competition shooting. And I had a man that was a really good pistol shooter came and told me something. He said, you cannot. He says, you have to see where you're going to hit. Same kind of thing in golf, same kind of in other sports. He says, you have to see where you hit. You have to see yourself hitting the target before you ever even pull the trigger. You have to see the hole in the target. You have to see. And he began to teach me, and I never even realized at that moment how that had to affect in life. Because where you're looking and what your vision is where you're going to end up. Are y'all with me? Wherever you're looking, that's where you're going to go. You got to have a vision in your life that casts out forward into the future of where you want to go and who you want to be. And when you do that, then it's easier to face the bullies in life. It's easier to stand up and say, nah, I don't line up my vision. Okay, so you say, okay, I want to be a godly man. I want to be like Noah. I want to be a righteous man. And so everybody says, come on, let's go to the strip bar. And you say, well, wait a minute, that don't line up my vision. That's not where I should be. Okay, no, I'm not going. He said, man, I want to be a godly man. I want to be a just man, righteous. I want to walk with God. And somebody over here says, you know, you're an idiot. I don't really like you. And so you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the next thing you know, you're in an argument, a fight with them, and all you can think about that next day is how much you'd like to whip them. Wait a minute. Your vision was over here. Now you're over here. And what happens to us in life is we get off track of our vision because we don't have a vision set. We have not established the vision in our hearts and set the vision in our heart. Because then what we do is we go through life over here and then over here and over here and over here. And we're not making any forward progress. We're just going back and forth between our vision. Now, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you that this message is not for sissies. It's not for the faint of heart. Because it's easier to just live your life back and forth, going on. But you know what? It's not rewarding. It's not victorious. You're not going to accomplish much. You're not going to advance the kingdom of God. And I don't know if the misery in between the ins and the outs is worth the effort it takes just to set your vision and set your heart and set it like flint and say, this is the direction I'm going. And I'm going to go down there and I want to get it accomplished. Hello? So, if you don't have a vision, I want to give you four, whatever you want to call it, points, principles, goals, whatever, for your vision that you should have in your life. Okay? Number one. I mean, this is a four-point message. I don't have a poem with it, but it's a four-point message. This is the vision you cannot lose. Okay? These 4 points. Number one is you got to have truth. You got to desire truth in your life. In everything I'm doing in life, I want to walk in truth. Now, I'm not talking about which truck I'm going to buy that's going to give me the best gas mileage. I mean, I want to be blessed in everything that I do. I'm not worried about which shirt's going to last the longest. And this. I'm talking about truth. What is really, really truth? Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, He says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to know the truth of the Spirit of God in my life. Because if you understand and have a relationship with Jesus and have a relationship with the Word of God, you know the Word of God and that truth gets inside of you. You know what happens? Is then when you're walking and casting your vision in front of you and something's squawking over here trying to get you off vision and get you to look over, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, wait a minute, the truth's going to come up out of the inside of you and say, you know, listen, that's the lie. Don't bite into that. That's just going to get you distracted. Don't go over there. Don't take the bait. Don't get angry at that. Don't do that. Don't mess with that. Just leave it alone. Go on. Now, I want you all to understand something. As a, you know, however many years it's been now, 28 years or however that I've walked with the Lord, I want to tell you something. I haven't always listened to the Holy Ghost. There has been times in my life that the Holy Ghost said, don't bite into that. Don't go over there. I was like, look over it against him. You know, I think I can handle that. But see, I didn't see the strings that were attached to it. I stepped out of truth and got hooked. Right? When Cain killed Abel, think about this. When Cain killed Abel, listen to this. This is a good one. He went to God, and the Bible says Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. Now, it didn't say anything that there was anything wrong with the farming or the, you know, what he was doing. But then went to make an offering to the Lord. It says that, you know, Abel brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, but Cain brought vegetables. I'm paraphrasing this. Y'all go read it. You know, goes back to the same old thing. Come on, barbecue versus veggies. I know what pleases God, and I know what I like to eat. Keep your broccoli. Give me an extra helping of ribs. Okay. So, the Bible says God rejected his offering of vegetables. Now, I want you to understand something. We serve a just God. God would not reject the vegetables unless he had told them it was supposed to be a blood sacrifice. That wouldn't be fair. You see, that wouldn't be right. Somewhere they knew. But you know what? Oh, Cain, he just wanted to do what Cain wanted to do. He's like, I'm tilling my garden over here. I'm making these sweet vegetables. I want to give God a tomato. And God says, I don't want your tomato. Well, what's wrong with my tomato? I've worked hard for this tomato. I like tomatoes. I like growing gardens. I like this stuff. And God, you should be blessing me because I like doing this. God says, no, you don't understand. See, Cain didn't have the ability to look down the road that 6,000 years later, Jesus was going to show up on the scene and his blood sacrifice was going to be what redeemed the whole world. And he couldn't understand that because he couldn't look that far down the future. But God could. And God's saying, look, I want you to trust me in what I'm asking you to do, because if you do what I'm asking you to do, you'll be blessed. But Cain said, no, I don't like that. I don't like your rules. I don't like the way you're doing it. I want you to bless my tomato. And that's what we have going on in the world today. There's people out there saying we need to bless the tomatoes. Hello? I'm sorry the Bible says don't do that, but we want you to do that because, I mean, we want our tomatoes blessed. Hello? People don't understand. They don't get it through their heads that I do not want man to dictate to me my morals. I want the Word of God to dictate to me what's right and what's wrong. And I'm not interested in what anybody else thinks of about this is the way it ought to be because we're such a better society because we accept everybody and everything's okay. Da, da. I don't know. What does the Bible say about it? If the Bible says do it, do it. If the Bible says don't, don't. End of story. Hello? That spirit of Cain's still working. It's alive today. Man, it's stirred up more than ever. We said, come on, bless my tomato. That's not right. So what does he do? He kills the one who offered the right sacrifice to God. Can I tell y'all something? You radical conservative Christians who believe in the Bible is true and that Jesus is Savior, have you noticed the little red dots from the laser sights on you lately that you were the bad guy? If you don't know it, you do have a bullseye on the back of your head. If I'm just informing you this the first time, wake up. All of a sudden, Christians are the bad guys. Because we're not accepting into all things. Yet, no one will respect us and our beliefs. And what we say is truth. It's the spirit of Cain, folks, loosed on the face of the earth today. Bless my tomato. Not my blood sacrifice. Okay, second thing you better stick with. You better have rooted down on the inside of you. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The second thing that you better have in your life, that you better have as a vision casting you, is honor. First one's truth, the second one's honor. I looked up the word honor in Webster's dictionary. And I was shocked at what they had written in there. It said, one whose worth brings respect or fame. Honor. One whose worth brings respect. Or fame. I want you to know something this morning, church. Do you know how much honor God the Father has placed on you? He loved you so much that He sent His own Son Jesus to you. He cared so much for you, Bill, that He sent His own Son to die for you. He couldn't sleep at night. If God, who never sleeps nor slumber, was asleep, to think that Bill didn't have a chance to get to heaven. Are y'all hearing me? How much honor does God give you? One whose worth brings respect or fame. How valuable are you to this world? Well, you're very valuable to God. And since He's in charge, I think that puts your worth really high. Have you ever thought of it? You know, I've heard people, and even sometimes we've been caught up in it as a church, that you start looking at missions projects or, you know, something like this, and you start to say, man, that would be a great thing, but how much is it going to cost us? And it hits me in the pit of my gut sometimes. I'm like, how do you put a value on a soul? Well, that project's going to cost us $50,000, and Only 10 people might get saved. Yeah, but how do you put a value on a soul? I don't know about y'all, but if I'm the soul on the auction block, I hope somebody bids high. Y'all with me? We do it every year. Everybody was just telling me, this is, we had the Lions Club auction yesterday, and we here in small town Utopia, the cake auctions and things like that. How many of y'all have seen way too much money paid for a cake before? Huh? Yeah. Somebody goes in there and pays $1,500 for a cake. What does it cost to make a cake? No, honestly, somebody throw me a figure here. What does it cost to make a cake? $10? $4 to $5. $4 to $5 to make a cake that is over $1,600. And I mean, cake is, it ain't ice cream, but it's cake, you know. You know, and I guess you could say, well, if you took a cake and you get so many slices out of it and you put it into a restaurant and you sold it for $5 a piece, you know, the cake could be valuable. You're still not going to get $1,600 out of the thing. Y'all with me? But the generosity of people are doing things to give money, and they say, well, I'll buy that cake, and we bid up the cakes, and the cakes go for a lot of money and whatever, and for donations, right? So you're putting a greater value on what something's really worth. How much value did God put on you? Gave his son. I mean, that's unlimited. Y'all with me? So then the vision that we should have in life is that you are something of honor. You say, listen, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. No, you are not. You are a person of honor. You're a person that God chose. You're a person of greatness. Don't let the devil come to you and lie to you and say, oh, you're not important in life. You're nothing in life. Bull. You're listening to the voice of the devil on that one. The world may not like you, but God does. You know? God loves you, cares for you so much. He puts such a high price on you. And you need to have in your vision that you are going to be a person of honor, that you're going to accept and take and let the love of God come into your life and be a part of your life. You need to quit listening to the lie that says you're of no value and start to tell yourself, you know, I'm of great value. God loves me. He sent his own son to die for me. Because see, what I'm telling you here, if your vision is cast out there, it starts to change the way you function and allows the Holy Spirit to come into your life and begin to work on you. So the first one's truth. The second one is you've got to have a vision of honor in your life. You are valuable. The third one, okay, here we go. Number three, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Integrity. To have integrity. To say I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. Goes with the other one up there about honor, about a good name is to be valued. Folks, listen to me. The scripture says that if you walk in integrity, that your children get blessed. How does that work? Think about that. How does that work? You did something, but they got blessed. Because if you walk in integrity, what happens is it starts to change everything about everything that you're doing. And then all of a sudden, everything around you begins to make a pathway that your children can walk in. Lying, cheating, stealing. Why do you think God put 10 commandments up there? Because he had to put something in front of man to say, hey, guys, don't do that. You know, it's not good. Don't do it. And have you ever noticed this? I mean, people argue about putting 10 commandments up in courtrooms and schoolhouses and things like this when you set before people just 10 things that you ought to not do. And it's not like, well, don't comb your hair to the left. Right? It's not like things that are like, you know, don't drink this or just 10 things. 10 things. And everybody's like, get them off the wall. You know why? Because they want to do those 10 things. And they don't want something sticking in their face that tells them don't do it. You know why? Because they don't have any integrity. Are y'all with me here this morning? Look at the person beside you and say, God, I love it when he preaches like this. Look at the person on the other side and say, this guy gets better every week. You've got to set your life as being a person of integrity. Now, it's really funny. Listen to me. I gotta qualify this a little. Integrity doesn't mean religious. Are y'all with me? Integrity is something from the heart. It's not your religious pretense you put on. Integrity comes from inside of you, that you're not going to do that because that's not who you are. Hello? Okay. Number 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. The fourth thing that you've got to have a vision for in your life set down so that you can defeat the bullies and the giants of this life. Sounds kind of easy, simple here, but it's hope. This hope, Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. You cannot exist in life without hope. You know why? Because without hope, the future looks so discouraging that you won't move forward. You'll stand in one place, and when you stand in that one place, you'll die. Hope is the ability, it says it goes back behind the veil. What's he talking about? In the Old Testament, when there was a tabernacle, there was a veil inside between the tabernacle had three compartments, and the third compartment was the Holy of Holies, and the veil was there because right behind it was the Ark of the Covenant. And so when you're in the one part, you enter into the veil to the next part, but in the next part, that's only where the high priest went, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the blood was poured out over the Ten Commandments. And where the presence of God dwelt between the two cherubims, the two angels. And it says hope goes back there. Well, who's back there? God. Hope is the ability to stop and say, you know, things don't look too good today, but bless God, they're going to be better tomorrow. Lord, I just thank you, man. I'm believing and trusting you that you're going to fix this situation. You're going to turn around somehow. God can do anything if you just have some hope, some faith in him. This weekend, I had to stay in a hotel and got booked by another person. And then they told me where it was. And the guy told me, he said, oh, my God, that's on the worst part of town. Y'all better be careful. I mean, that's the worst part of town. Anyway, I can't believe it's in a hotel. Why'd y'all stay there? It's the nastiest place on hotel. I was like, I don't know. This idiot booked it and I'm down there, you know. So I said, Lord, you got to do something. You got to do something. Come on, Jesus. Help me out of this thing. You say, well, Robert, that's just the way I do it. Man, I showed up. The whole place had been renovated. Nobody knew it. It was all brand new. Nicest hotel I've stayed in, and I don't know when. It was half the price of everything else. It's like, well, Lord, I'm sorry I was even complaining. You already had it taken care of. But hope has to go behind the veil. Hope has to believe that God will work a work in your life if you'll keep the vision. Folks, you can't go up there and keep having hope if you're taking a tomato and saying, come on, God, bless my tomato. But if you're lining your life up with Him and lining your life up in truth and lining your life up in honesty and honor and integrity and lining your life up saying, Lord, I want to be a, like Noah. I want Genesis 6:9 written across my head. I want to be a just man, righteous in my generation. I want to walk with you. And you keep that in your heart and set that vision. Then your hope goes back behind the veil to the presence of God and begins to bring this out in you. And you begin to see things you've never seen before. Never have you couldn't. You said, listen, there's things in my life that I have said, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. You know, I know what you, I hear what you're telling me, but I can't see how that could happen. You know, when you're in a bad situation, you're saying, you know, I really believe you want good for me, Lord, but I don't see how you're going to get good out of this. Hope goes back behind the veil and says, I don't know, but if anybody could pull it off, you can. That's hope. Y'all with me? That's the way I look at it. I say, man, I don't know who's going to pull this off, but I don't know how. I don't know anybody that could. You, but I'm glad you're not just anybody, Lord. I'm glad that you're the God who makes crooked paths straight. I'm glad you're the God that can take the bad situation and turn it for good to those that love you. And I don't understand it, but I just know that you can and you will. And that's where my hope goes. When my hope gets back there, you know what? You're going to make it work. But if you lose hope, I want to tell you something. There's times I can just watch the news just for a little bit and lose hope. Steal the joy right out of my soul. I was reading it the other day, and I started laughing at the headlines, at how many of the headlines look like end-time prophecy. And I was like, Jesus, I guess you're going to come back on Thursday. Y'all with me? I mean, it just looks like it went down the way everybody listened. I said, well, it looks like to me. I'll get my bag packed because Thursday you're coming. I mean, I don't know how this is going to get past Thursday. Are y'all with me? But my hope inside of me looks to the Word and says, you know, Lord, there's a lot of people out there that don't know you. There's a lot of people out there yet that have not found out that Jesus, that you love them and that you died for them. And there's a lot of people out there that need to be told the good news and need to be told that Jesus, that you have mercy and grace. And there's a lot of people out there that need to know that Jesus is a healer and a forgiver. And then my hope starts getting activated and saying, Lord, I'm not going to look at how bad everything looks. I'm just saying, come on, Lord. Open up the door. Show me where to go, what to do. Who do I say? What goes on today? What do you want to happen? How are you going to make this work out? Speak to me, Lord. Folks, I've told you this and taught you this for 20 years, that it's not how long you pray. It's not taking that time to sit and pray. It's being in prayer all day long. I say it this way, I never pray more than about 10 minutes, but don't let 10 minutes go by that I don't pray. I just pray all the time. It's just my conversation with the Lord's like that every day, all day long. I don't know. Wow, Lord, that looks like a bad situation. I don't know what you're going to do about that, but I just believe you're going to make something happen. Are you telling me that prayer is not just as effective as, oh, Father, thou that sitteth in the heavens, who rideth upon the clouds, hear the cherubims there. I appeal to you, thou, O loving Father. I mean, come on. You going to tell me that these and the thous make a prayer more effective? Now, if you like to pray like that, get with it. Glory to God. But I'm just country. All right? So you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Hello? Your hope has to look past all that. And I'm telling you, if you can muster some hope and get it back there in the presence of God, what's going to happen is then that part of you, because the Bible says that every one of us have got a measure of faith on the inside of us. And the minute that hope goes back there and looks at God behind the veil, the faith that's on the inside of you begins to kick and say, wow, you can do this, Lord. And the moment you get to that place, the race is on. Hello? Okay, so four things. All right? What's number one? Man, somebody learned something. Bless God. What about number two? Whee! Three? Number four? There you go, folks. Set your vision for it. Grab hold of it. Put your foot in the ground. Tell the bullies to shut up before you slap some hide off their face. You know? Catch hold of that vision and go on. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? Church, if you're in here today and you're in a hopeless situation, I want to pray with you. Got the prayer team down here. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God for you. We'll believe God for miracles in your life. If you need some agreement, the Bible says if two of us would agree is touching anything, He'd do it. All right? So we're here for you. Don't leave this building today discouraged. Don't leave this building today hopeless. If you need hope, we're here for you. We'll pray with you. God will bless you. So look at the person beside you and say to them, you're going to make it. And if you're in here today, church, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not sure today that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You question in your life of, are you righteous with Him? Well, listen to me. If that's you, you need to come down here and pray with one of these people today. Because Jesus loves you so much. Every one of you are so honored. God loves you. You have a high value to Him. Don't let your life be living in darkness. But we're here for you. And if you're not sure, you need to just walk down to one of these great people up here in the front that'll pray with you and say, look, I'm not really sure if I'm right with Jesus. And let them pray with you. Give your life to Him today. Give your life to Him today. You'll find it's the greatest life you could ever live. Amen. Amen. So take that person's hand beside you. And I want to pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in here. Lord, I pray that every person in here grabs hold of these four points today and sets it about as a vision within their lives. That, Lord, they go forth and they refuse to be hindered. That, Lord, they take on the bullies of their life and say, get out, because You said in Your name, Jesus, that all bullies are going to get defeated. So, Lord, that we use the name of Jesus and we stand strong for You. And the enemy is defeated in our midst, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank You for it. Now bless them. And Lord, as we go out into this world, there's a whole world out there that needs to know about You, Jesus. So, Lord, I just declare that they're going to hear it. We're going to be have an opportunity to tell them, and that people are going to find You and be blessed, Lord. Lord, I thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're down here for you. If you need prayer, please come down.